We have made it to Friday. Yay! I'm Rhonda McBride. We have a full show for you coming up on Juno Afternoon today. You can get your holiday shopping fix at the Juno Public Market. It is back with a few changes for COVID safety. St. Vincent de Paul is putting together Thanksgiving baskets. How you can help. How the Juno Public Library is celebrating Native American Heritage Month. The Juno Soccer Club's Holiday Cup Soccer Tournament. And poetry in the time of COVID from the Byrne Thompson Writers Group. Lots to talk about today, so settle in for some conversation here on Juno Afternoon.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
In tonight's forecast, you can expect widespread rain showers turning to snow later on, with an accumulation of about an inch. The snow level is going to take quite a drop, about 1,000 feet, from 1,200 down to 200 feet. Winds out of the southeast 10 to 15 miles an hour, with lows in the lower 30s. Now tomorrow, numerous snow showers in the morning, turning to scattered rain in the afternoon, a combination that can make for some icy roads, so watch out for that. Snow accumulation of up to an inch, with the snow level at 100 feet. Winds still coming out of the southeast 10 to 15 miles an hour with highs in the upper 30s for Saturday. But by nightfall, mostly cloudy skies, still a slight chance of rain, lows around 30 degrees, winds beginning to shift to the northeast around 10 miles per hour. Sunday, drier weather is expected, mostly cloudy, highs in the upper 30s, winds out of the northeast 10 to 15 miles an hour. Now, we do have a chance of snow shower Sunday night with nighttime temperatures cooling off slightly, lows down to the mid-20s. In our long-range forecast, and this is going to make you skiers happy, a chance of snow every day, Monday through Thursday. Sunrise for tomorrow at 7:42, sunset at 3:41, down to a total of 7 hours, 59 minutes of daylight.
Sounds wild.
Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
An eagle is nesting near a busy highway in Juneau. This is not particularly unusual in Alaska, but this eagle is remarkable for another reason. She is nesting on the ground. She's sitting in the open, just above the high tide line in the tidal wetlands. And the nest is pretty skimpy, just a few sticks in a loose pile with a bowl of woven dried grass for the eggs. Bald eagles have been known to nest on the ground on small treeless islands, and one such nest was documented in Tracy Arm, a glacial fjord in southeast. But generally, they nest in big spruce trees, often right near the coast. Their nests can be huge platforms of sticks and branches. Some are 6 feet across and larger and weigh hundreds of pounds, and they're used year after year. Eagles are federally protected and managed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, not state fish and game, but state and federal biologists communicate and collaborate. A raptor biologist kept an eye on this unusual nest and noted in mid-May that there were two eggs. In early June, about the time the eggs should have hatched, the biologist noted that the eagle had not been seen at the nest for several days. Upon inspection, he found it was abandoned. Heavy rains had soaked the nest, and one cold egg remained. He collected it for testing. There are hundreds of eagles in the area, and many are successfully nesting nearby in trees. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
KTOO would like to take a moment to acknowledge that we are on the homelands of the Thlinkit. In the borough of Juneau, we have the two Kwans, the Akwan and the Takukwan. KTOO studios sit on the ancestral home of the Thlinedi, or dog salmon people of the Ahkwan. We acknowledge those families of the Clinédi who made use of these lands and waterways for thousands of years and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the Shu Yi, we Kashuk ayitin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha anikak. Gunish cheese.
Gunish Cheesh for being here with us today. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. I know I've seen many of you out there starting to shop for Thanksgiving in the grocery aisles, looking for all those wonderful turkey trimmings. But what happens after the big day is over? For years, everyone looked forward to the Juno Public Market. Then came COVID, but this year, the Juno Public Market is back. Peter and Sandy Metcalf join us now. They are helping to organize this favorite Juno tradition over the Thanksgiving weekend. So I bet you're excited, Peter and Sandy, that this great tradition is coming back.
It's a big relief that we're able to do this, and thanks to the City and Borough of Juneau, it permitted the event to go forward, you know, based on us having some mitigation measures in place. And Sandy could talk about that.
Well, we're going to have plenty of signage there at the door and try to get people in as safely as we possibly can. And, you know, for a very long time, this event has been well-oiled.
Yeah,
I would say. And so this year it's a little bit different, but we have everything in place. We've worked everything out, and we're going to get people in as safely and quickly as we can.
Yeah, it's important that people get in quickly, because sometimes we've had weather events and they can be injurious to the health as well. But people should know that they need to have a full vaccination. They can show us their vaccination card on a smartphone image. So just show it to us as you're coming in, and we'll get you in the door as quickly as possible. Everybody has to wear masks, but we've been assured by the city and borough that if everyone's wearing masks and we're all vaccinated, basically we have as little risk as in the past of, say, catching a cold or something. Really minimal risk involved, and we want everybody to enjoy themselves, most especially the vendors who are coming from all over Alaska and the Pacific Northwest to share their handcrafted items and, you know, have a good experience. It's really, really important to them that this event carry on. Many of them depend on their making their season at the Juno Public Market.
You know, I have really enjoyed looking at your website of all the pictures from the years past and just seeing all those wonderful activities that you have, people performing, just all kinds of vendors there sharing their talents. But people are pretty crowded in those old pictures. So how are you going to manage this so that it's safe?
Glad you asked that. For one thing, we don't expect as many people will show up, but we're all adults, and I don't know what your experience has been, but ours is that our friends and just about any adults in a public space, if it's a supermarket or whatever, keep their distance. I mean, I notice it out on trails when I'm hiking, people step aside and let you pass. And, you know, before we were not so conscious of it, but now we very much are. And, you know, the fact that we're vaccinated puts us in a very low risk category. So it should be good.
You know, I like your suggestion that you take a picture of your vaccination record so that you have it handy and you don't have to worry about, oh my God, I forgot it. But I mean, that's kind of becoming the standard calling card for events. And I think that's great.
It is. You know, people in general should know, becoming increasingly common, we cannot legally hold an event with more than 20 people without checking your vaccination. It's tough for some people. Some people just don't want to do it for various reasons, get vaccinated, and they feel they're being discriminated against. We don't have a choice. We're going to hold the public market. We're going to hold a safe event. We want people to thoroughly enjoy themselves. And we're just, it really goes against the grain of everything the public market is to deny entry to anybody for any reason. But in this case, it's for the public health. And just like a fire regulation, they're going to ignore this.
Absolutely. So glad that you're getting the word out now so people are prepared. Sandy, what has it meant? I know last year they had a virtual market, and even though that was a valiant effort, there still was a big hole. I mean, what kind of a hole did we have last year without this market for the community?
Well, I think it was a big one. It's wonderful that we can have it this year in the regards that we have to have it as far as safety is concerned. And I think next year, of course, will be even better. I think we needed to start with a new norm. I've talked to family members and friends down south, and they're all saying they are all going through the same mitigation measures. And so I think people are going to have to get used to a little bit of it. At any rate, I'm looking forward to this year, you know, getting back into things.
For me, it was like last year, like we canceled a family reunion. Yeah. You know, I mean, we did have our virtual public market, but that was about as much as fun as a Zoom session. You know, you don't get that personal up close feeling. You don't get to meet the people who are making the products. And we really have some wonderful vendors who are coming, and for whatever reason, we kind of maintain this ratio of about one third of the vendors are entirely new to the public market. And it's been that way for, geez, going on 40 years now, that we get that kind of new blood in the public market. You know, I think just natural attrition or whatever, but we have many familiar faces coming back. You know, Mark Kelly and Betty Bell is a Potter. Johnny Ellis, he hasn't been a real consistent vendor, but he's goes back quite a ways in Juneau and doing fossilized jewelry. And Judy Cooper, well known to our community, she lives in Gustavus now. And Neil McConaughey, she's been one of our most consistent vendors. She does jewelry. And then we have some returning vendors like Stoked Beekeeping of Homer. I love these guys. They produce, they run, I don't know, something like 100 hives up in South Central Alaska, and they're getting the wildflower honey. And some of it, like fireweed honey, is just, it's out of this world. I really like honey, and they do a good job. And then Eldred Rock, it's on the Eldred Rock Foundation's on the front page of the newspaper today about their fundraising efforts, and they'll be there. And Susan York, who is kind of the motivator of that effort, they're trying to restore, they are restoring the Eldred Rock, which is just about 20 miles from, maybe it's 15 miles from Haines. If you look in the weather report, Eldred Rock, it's going to be windy anywhere. It's windy at Eldred Rock. So... Oh, anyway, there are lots of really fun vendors coming in. And once again, this is really important to them. You know, they just can't, you know, make it just online. And I don't know about you or the rest of the audience here, but geez, I'm tired of just, you know, ordering online just doesn't have the magic of meeting the people who create the product in person.
So, Sandy, what is most magical to you about this event?
Magical.
You granddaughter.
Sunday night. My granddaughter is coming up again to help, which is great.
Yeah, I haven't seen her.
She really wants to do it. And I keep saying, are you sure? Yeah, I want to be there. Okay. That's magical for me.
She's a senior now, and I haven't seen her in 2 years, like a lot of these other young people.
We miss a lot of people in 2 years.
Yeah.
We haven't been out in circulation that much to see people, and these kind of events are always nice because you do see people that you haven't seen in a long time. So, Peter, What's magical to you, aside from the social aspect? And, of course, you know that you and your wife are working very hard to carry this event off. But what is it that you feel affirmed?
Sandy just mentioned about the young people who work for us are mostly relatives, nieces, nephews, children, or the children of friends. Have many adults who work for us too, but watching them from year to year, that's the magic. It's they grow up. They start at really, really shy young people, and then by the next year or so, they're ordering adults around and just being responsible and really good workers. And it's fun to see, you know, young people mature and become responsible young adults.
So this event is spread out over a couple of locations. So before we go, tell us where we go and what we have to do to be a part of this.
That's one thing. I'm glad you asked that question, because of the COVID restrictions, we lost a number of vendors for various reasons. So we had to pull back to the Centennial Hall, which is where we started to begin with. And so this year we will not have an annex at the Jack or the Elizabeth Pradovich Hall. But we have every nook and cranny in Centennial Hall filled, with the exception right now of one space. So if anybody out there wants to participate, this is your opportunity. But going, probably gone by tomorrow anyway. So it's going to be a full venue, but the Jack will not be open. So just come to the Centennial Hall, have your vaccination card ready. You know, take a picture of it, have it on your cell phone so you can just present it to us really easily and not be digging through a purse or wallet. And we'll get you in the door and have fun.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is the best part of it all, is being able to have fun. Well, thank you very much for coming on, Sandy and Peter Metcalf, to tell us about the Juno Public Market. Yeah. That is such encouraging news to see that this is going to come back to life.
It is.
One step back normal. Thank you, Rhonda.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. And good luck with everything.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joe McLaughlin, Alaska's state epidemiologist. Getting vaccinated is the best long-term strategy to keep yourself and others safe from COVID-19. However, it takes 2 weeks after you've completed your vaccine series for your body to build up maximal protection. In the meantime, there are additional things that you can do today to help, such as wearing a mask in public, social distancing, and avoiding crowds. Regardless of your vaccination status, please use these prevention measures to help us slow the spread.
This message sponsored by the City and Borough of Juneau.
Support comes from Nugget Alaskan Outfitter, providing Juneau with clothing for every occasion, bonfires, weddings, casual dinner parties, and more. Online at nuggetoutfitter.com or in person at the Mendenhall Mall.
This is Juneau Afternoon. Thank you for being here with us today. I'm Rhonda McBride. Well, we're going to be talking about being a friend in a time of need. St. Vincent de Paul coordinates the distribution, get this, of over 400 Thanksgiving food baskets. 400. And that will happen on Saturday, November 20th. And that's just a week away. And they've need your help very much. Dave Ringel, who is director of St. Vincent de Paul, is here with us to talk about that. And so, Dave, how is it going this year? I imagine, you know, we've heard that there's a rise in price due to supply problems. How are you doing with getting these baskets together?
Well, we are grateful because we've asked 13 churches to help with collecting dry food. We ordered turkeys in June, and they've arrived at Super Bear, and our anonymous donor paid for them this morning and somehow slipped into and out of our offices without letting us know he was there. And so we just have to give thanks for the person who buys the turkeys. And they were $3,000 more this year than last year.
Wow.
And last year we did 488 Thanksgiving baskets by Thanksgiving. This year we're going to be doing a similar amount. We learned a couple of lessons from COVID, and we have to do things a little bit differently. And in some ways, it requires more help, and in other ways, it allows more people to give. We're doing the sign up virtually online. If you were to go to svdpjuno.org, look at events, click on Thanksgiving baskets. And the first link is for a food basket, and anyone can sign up. Our board president was collecting food from Super Bear, and the individual said, "I don't know who signed me up for a basket last year, but looking back, that really made a difference in helping us have a good Thanksgiving." And it was encouraging to hear that from somebody while we were picking up some of the food we get. You can sign up there. Next week, we're going to gather all the food. We're going to go collect it from 13 different churches where Love, Inc. Left boxes and posters for everything from the Cathedral downtown to Shepherd of the Valley to Auk Bay Bible Church, Douglas. I wish I could find my list. It's quite a big list. And we try and collect all the food. As of now, we're wondering if we'll have enough mashed potatoes and yams, but we have plenty of other resources. And so the food's going to be gathered. We'll have some community groups, Rotaract, a youth group, perhaps some of the Rotary clubs are joining us to collect the food baskets. And then next Saturday, November 20th, we're going to deliver the food baskets to the houses during the day. And that's where people can help out. Last year was the first year with COVID. We didn't want people coming to our shelter where we've got vulnerable people. So we got 40 community volunteers. It took about 5 or 6 hours, but we delivered 400 Thanksgiving baskets. We asked people to go in pairs. You want one person driving and one person checking directions and going together. And it's oftentimes a chance to have the opportunity to give and receive gratitude, because I was delivering some of the last baskets last year and the year before, and people oftentimes are just really grateful to have what they need to celebrate Thanksgiving.
So, Dave, tell us a little bit about the people who are getting these baskets, and are there different kinds of people because of COVID than you might expect this year and last year?
Well, we just take the names that sign up, and some of them are regular places. We go to many of the senior living centers, some of our apartment complexes throughout Juneau, we will visit with Thanksgiving baskets. And other people who sign up get the basket for their family. And we just trust that people who sign up need help at this time. And we're in a fortunate place where we get to help people and make sure that they get it. And it's sort of interesting. Last year, I helped a woman get housing for the first time in 14 years. And the first thing she asked me, and this was in October, is, "Can I come back at Thanksgiving and help give out the baskets?" Because, gratitude is something that when people get things, they appreciate. And I think it's important to remember, even though this has been a really tough year, we have the opportunity to be thankful for what we have.
Absolutely. To me, I think that's the greatest way to express your gratitude, is by paying it forward to someone else. So if I were to get one of these baskets and open it up, what would I see?
Well, you would see me, either turkey breast, or ham. You can check that on the list. You'd get a box of stuffy mix, some canned corn, hopefully some cranberry sauce, instant mashed potatoes, green beans, and yams. And we would have a dessert. And we would bring along some butter so you can butter the turkey before you cook it.
Wow. So you're making me hungry just talking about that already.
Now, and we do this as a coordinated effort throughout the city. If you don't want a basket, but you want to get a cooked meal, we work with Salvation Army. And Salvation Army is going to provide 600 to-go Thanksgiving meals out of their mobile station downtown at the hangar. They are not able to have the community meal that we used to have yet, and we're hoping we will, but they will do like last year. They've got three different groups. Two restaurants and the Glory Hall are helping prepare the food for the meal, and then people can go down to the mobile kitchen across from the wharf and pick it up. If they can't pick it up and they want it delivered, I know that Chapel by the Lake deacons are delivering meals to people from the valley. And I know that Gina Halverson of Salvation Army has said that she will have some drivers available to deliver hot Thanksgiving meals to people who need a Thanksgiving meal and don't have the means to prepare it.
Well,
so
thank you.
If you want the basket, talk to us. If you don't, Salvation Army's going to help.
Well, thank you for telling us about this. I don't think that we realize, you know, how much need there is in the community and how well all of these community organizations are working together. And, you know, I have to ask you this because it's such a special time right now. I feel like Juno is on the cusp of something really great with the Teal Street Center under construction and the new Glory Hall residential facility and all of these agencies working together. How about you? How do you feel about where we are right now in helping people that need an extra hand?
Well, I think the need is greater than ever. And I think that as we look at the upcoming year, we are getting more people into housing and we have more shelter space. One of the things that Maria mentioned at the Glory Hall is with the extra space, they can do more case management. They can give people the time to find out what they need. And it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen one person at a time over several months. But with the resources being developed, and most of them are in our neighborhood, we're working on trying to make a dent in the housing crisis and the homeless crisis, which COVID didn't help. COVID's put everybody a little bit on edge.
Right.
And if you were on the edge to start with, it could have, and I know a few people who were on the edge and unfortunately we're trying to help them get back there. But
right.
That's part of the difficulty of this time.
Well, when we invite guests to Juno Afternoon, we always ask what song you would like to play. And people don't generally respond during, you know, what song you want to play during the break. But you asked, "Thank You for Being a Friend," to be the song to play. Tell me why you asked for that song.
Well, St. Vincent de Paul is a national organization, and the question is what type of charity works. And in my discussions with people, one of the things we want to do is not just give people something, but get to know them and make it something that goes beyond just aid to knowing who our neighbor is. And I think that with Thanksgiving and with much of the aid we do, if we know who our neighbor is, we can better help them. And a lot of times in the middle of the crisis, I was grateful to have this position because I was in a place where I could do something.
Yeah, it's great to be in a position to be a friend.
Yeah. And you know, being in a position to help is a responsibility, but it's also a blessing and an honor. And I think if we look around, there was a case on Sunday of somebody who, it started with a request on Community Collective for an electric blanket. And it turned out this individual did not have heating oil. And we have the ability to offer aid for that. But by the time I could get my aid coordinator to it, several people had helped out. And this person had heating oil. Other people were connecting with resources so this problem wouldn't happen again. And, you know, it's not just giving the immediate aid that's needed, but it's also giving people the resources so that what they need to take care of themselves is provided.
So we have to go now, but before we do, any final reminders of what people absolutely need to know?
Well, if you are in need of aid for Thanksgiving, go to svppjuno.org and click on the Thanksgiving basket link under events. Sign up. We will do our best. I will guarantee baskets to everybody who signs up by Monday, November 15th. We will try and honor everybody who signs up and everybody's in need, but we are going to base our numbers on what we have on Monday, November 15th. And it seems like we always have enough to meet the need, but we're not going to make any promises until at the last minute. We'll just do our best to make what we have meet the needs of those who want it and need it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dave Ringel, and I hope all goes well. And thank you, St. Vincent de Paul, for being a friend of the community.
You're welcome. It's our privilege. Thank you.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. We are going to check in with Kate Enge, who is the marketing director over at the Juno Public Library. You know, this weather we have had of late really makes it inviting to retreat to a good book. And I know that Kate Enge always has one handy on her coffee table. So tell us about what you're reading these days.
So right now I'm reading a recommendation from a friend of mine called The Four Winds. And I think the author's last name is Hannah. And it takes place, it's a mother and two kids during the Depression. And my friend's review did say that it was an uplifting book. I don't know if I've gotten to the uplifting part yet. I'm almost done with it. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that everything works out at the end.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those kind of books that, keep you reading, keep you going on edge. So I know that every month you try to put together some books that kind of mark the season. What are you working on right now? What's available at the library to check out?
So right now we have displays at, I know at least downtown in the Valley for Alaska Native Heritage Month. So we have a whole bunch of those books that we've pulled out. We've also pulled out all of our holiday books. So if you want to get a jump start with your kiddo to go read some of those holiday classics, they're out right now at all three branches of the public library, and they check out for 2 weeks, just so everybody can have a fair chance to read their favorite books.
That is just great. Any other things that you have coming up? I know that you have various contests, various events for people to get involved with.
Yeah, right now we partnered with the Juno Douglas City Museum and with the Dr. Walter Soboloff Letters of Gratitude. So if you're interested in writing a letter to somebody, we at all three branches of the public library have the note cards and have the stamps. So you can come in and get a note card and a stamp to help help facilitate writing a letter to someone.
What are you going to write a letter about?
I wrote a letter to my high school best friend's mom. It's her birthday coming up. And so I wrote a letter about, it's a milestone birthday. So I was just wishing her a happy birthday and how much her daughter was great when I was growing up and how she was also a great presence in my life.
You know, that's a great idea. There are so many people, they pop into your brain. I was thinking about my old Girl Scout leader, a woman named Nancy O'Bear. And what a wonderful woman she was. She taught us so much and put up with so much. I'm going to have to get one of your cards. So I understand that the library has got a survey going. What are you trying to find out with this survey?
So we're really looking at how the public of Juno, how our community uses the library, which branches they frequent the most often, which services they use the most. And then we're looking for ideas for how they think Juno could be just a better community to live in and ways that the library could help facilitate those ideas. We're just essentially trying to get an idea of how Juno uses the library and what we can do to make sure we're offering the services that they would really use.
Well, before we go, probably speaking of services, you got a lot of schedule changes with the holidays coming up. You want to bring us up to date on that?
Yeah, so we are going to be, we're open our full hours now, so we're, much longer hours, and we are going to be closed both Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving.
Okay. Well, I guess that's good to keep in mind so you don't wind up coming there.
So come today to get your books and DVDs for the holiday weekend.
All right. Anything else before we go that you want to share with us important to let the public know about?
Yeah, if anyone hasn't completed the survey, they're available online, and we have paper copies at the branches, and we have the survey available until November 19th.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kate Enge. She is the marketing director at the Juneau Public Library. And let me know how that book turns out, that suspenseful book you're reading. All right. Yep. Thanks so much, Kate.
Yeah. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. You are listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Thank you for being here with us. And one of the things that we look forward to all the time is just the fun activities that happen over the holiday season. Well, here's one for sports fans, a free soccer tournament for the community. And one of the organizers of that, Marty McEwen, joins us. He's going to tell us about something called the Holiday Cup. That sounds like fun. But are people going to be playing outdoors during this Holiday Cup?
Yeah, hi. No, well, the Holiday Cup is a big tournament that I've been sponsoring for, I think this will be my 7th or 8th year. It is at the Diamond Park Fieldhouse. So it's all indoor. Yeah, we can't, a little hard to play soccer in a snowstorm. So we do it indoors at the Fieldhouse and, lots of soccer.
Lots and lots of soccer. Well, I'm glad to find out that it is indoors, so you can also watch in the comfort of a warm spectator area. So yeah. What happens at this tournament? How does it work?
So the Holiday Cup here, the soccer tournament, you know, started I think this is the 28th year. I don't have that note in front of me, but it sounds about right. And I took it over after the 20th year. The first 20 years were sponsored by Dylan and Finley, and they were looking for something to keep the kids that aren't into necessarily skiing and snowboarding, ice skating, hockey and whatnot busy during the Christmas break. And so they started this tournament, and it used to be done in the gyms. And so they would be a different, school gyms around town, and they set up boards on the side and have an indoor soccer. And I think it started out as maybe elementary, middle school and high school, and then it's expanded since then. So after 20 years, I took the tournament over, and my company Remax Juno is sponsors the whole thing, and we put it on. It's a free tournament. Lots and lots of fun. It starts at December 18th and it goes through. It always ends on New Year's Eve every year. And so we have, I think the most games we had, I think it's 109, maybe 110 games during that 2-week period. So it's jam packed full of lots of soccer. So how it works is you get together in the elementary, you say you want to start a team, you let us know that you're starting a team, or you get a parent or a coach to start a team, and you go around and we help place kids to make it to where we try and make it as competitive as possible, so you don't have one team super stacked and one team is struggling. So it makes it for much more fun play. And so we do that with both the elementary, and so you get a team together, and there's 12 kids on the pitch. I think in elementary it's 13 kids on the pitch at a time, and on each team, and so they play. We've got categories of elementary, middle school, high school, college age kids, and then we've got the master's division, which is basically when you're out of college on up. And then we have one more division after the masters, and we call it the classics, and the, or more like the dinosaur league, where we about 35 or 40 years and older, we you don't necessarily want to be playing against a 23-year-old, right?
I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah, right. So you want to keep your knees and ankles and bones in place. So we've created a league to make it where aging adults can still play some soccer and have some fun and partake in a Holiday Cup. And so we have, each division, usually we have the elementary, middle school, high school play. And then as the night goes on, we have the older teams play. And we have kind of a bit of a round robin, and then we have the playoffs and then the championships. All the championship games are on New Year's Eve, and we always end it about 6-7 o'clock, and everybody goes celebrates. And that usually the big game, the last game of the night is the Masters, because that's the division where it's the most exciting to watch. You know, it's Juno's got a really large population of soccer players in town, and such a great Juno soccer club that most of the kids, as they come up through the ranks, and they play Parks and Rec and soccer club, and then high school, and then some go on to play college, and then they come out and then they play in Juno, and they come back, and it has become quite a tradition to come back and play the Holiday Cup and try and take home the gold.
The gold. So for people that may be a little bit COVID nervous, how are you going to work this out so that it's safe?
It's a very well organized tournament, and we've got a management system where all the teams are entered in. So we'll know who's playing, which teams are playing at any given hour. The city's limiting the field house to 100 participants at a time. So we'll be monitoring how many people are coming and going, and we'll have masks on. The spectators and the players will all be wearing masks. The referees will wear masks, and there's a game every hour. So at the top of the hour, we try and get started by, if it's 1 o'clock, we'd start by 1:05. We take a little, there's 25 minute halves. We take a 5 minute break in between. So we're starting at the top of the hour and pretty well organized. It's very well organized and very well timed. And we, back to the COVID thing, we have the whole facility. So you can go upstairs onto the track and spread out and watch from above and have some social distancing.
Well, from December 18th to the 31st, this is a lot of work to get all of this coordinated. What makes it all worthwhile for you, Marty?
Well, it's just something that we can do. I can do to give back to the community. We're really successful business in Juneau, but the only reason we're successful is because all the good citizens of Juneau trust us to help them with their real estate needs. And so this is just one big thing. I love to do it. My family grew up playing soccer, and all my kids and my nephews and sisters and brothers and cousins. And, we just are a big soccer family. So we really enjoy that. And so this is just the opportunity came up to give back to continue to serve. If we didn't take it on, it was potential of the tournament falling apart, and nobody wanted that. So lots of volunteers.
But you didn't really answer my question, which is, what makes it all worthwhile? What do you see that goes on there that makes you feel like it's worth all this effort?
Oh, well, all the camaraderie, everybody coming up. I mean, the kids just love to play and to see each other year after year. The kids coming back from college and even the adults getting together and be able to get out and exercise and have a great sport and have some competition. And it's just a lot of fun. And the tradition of it all that people just really enjoy, we give out medals and little trophies to the school age kids. I think the Masters, we have a big silver cup that I think was Paul Dillon's family cup. We pass that along, and so they're not playing for a big prize, right? I mean, they're just playing for the title of champion of Holiday Cup, you know, and just to see all that and give a place for people to get in out of the cold and celebrate the holidays and watch some great athletes. It's the biggest sporting event, annual sporting event in Juneau. We have over 400 athletes playing in the tournament in most cases. Hopefully this year will be the same.
400, my goodness. Well, Marty McEwen, thanks for all you do. Thanks for taking this on and all the others that help you. Looking forward to hearing about how it all goes and who is the winner of the coveted Holiday Cup.
That's right. But yeah, thank you for letting us have some time on the show. And you can find out all kinds of information on holidaycup.org, kind of a nice app. And you can follow along after the tournament starts. There's not a whole lot on there now except for when things are due. Like there's artwork we give a prize out to the kids who come up with the artwork that go on the coveted Holiday Cup hoodie. We have a sweatshirt that is sold every year as a fundraiser for the high school. So anyway, you'll see deadlines on the website for all that. And yeah, anyway, I'm sure you got other people who want to get on here.
Well, we've got one more segment to go here, but thanks so much, Marty. I'm looking forward to seeing how all this turns out. Thank you. Gunnar Sheesh for being here with us today. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. Well, poetry in the time of COVID. 50 years from now, it'll be kind of like a time capsule to read back and see some of this poetry and the art that has been created during this time. The Byrne Thompson Writers Group has been working on a collection that will be featured at the Juneau Douglas Museum. And here to tell us about that from the Byrne Thompson Group, we have Margot Waring and Misty St. Clair, who are also poets themselves. So thank you for being here with us to tell us about this. Sounds so intriguing. So why don't we start with you, Misty, and tell us about how the Juneau Douglas Museum is going to handle this collection of poetry that you've been working on.
So I'm here to talk about this month's Coffee and Conversation event at the City Museum. What they have done is we've recorded our poems and they will be played on a loop. And so people can come in and mingle and listen. It will be COVID safe. Everybody will be required to wear masks, of course, and things will be set up for social distancing as much as possible. But there will be poets there. We'll all be there. Most of us will. And, you know, you can interact with us, ask us questions about, you know, poetry during these hard times. And so it's an opportunity to meet us, to purchase a chat book, and to hear the poems.
So, Margot, tell us what exactly a chapbook is.
A chapbook is a collection, a short collection of poems. It's not like a full-length hardcover book. It usually runs less than 50 pages, so something between 20 and 50 pages. In this case, it's written by several different poets, but often, or more often, a chapbook is written by one poet. Misty currently has a chapbook available in town, as do I at Hearthside Books. And so in those kinds of chapbooks, it's the work of one poet is featured. Our collection really lets us bring a diverse perspectives to the one topic of the experience of this COVID pandemic here in our town.
So Misty, tell us a little bit about what you think this collection brings out.
I think it focuses on, you know, how the pandemic has hit our community, and we're all local poets who have contributed. You know, poetry can be, some of the poems are light and can be, you know, a solace or bring some humor into, you know, these traumatic times. Some of them are more serious and, you know, talk about action or, and then some are meditative. So there's a wide range of poems that, you know, people can experience.
Well, we're going to have the two of you come back when we have a chance to maybe share some of this poetry. And I think we're going to run out of time before this hour is over. But Margot, what strikes you about the significance of sharing this collection with the community?
I think it's... one of the things that's significant about it is that it came about as we were thinking about the City Museum's desire to have an archive of artistic expression about what will be in the future a historic time in our community. And so having several different poets writing about that time, I think makes it a broader reflection of community experience.
And I think that is very good to have because, you know, you think back of the 1918 pandemic and we apparently lost in our culture the memory of that, of what happened. And it seems like history has repeated itself in a lot of unfortunate ways. So before we go here, you want to tell us what you think this collection conveys to people about what's significant?
Well, of course, what is significant to one person that we don't want to forget? I think that the things that stand out to me, and I think you'll find other perspectives in different poets' writing, is that although we were all separated and sheltering in our own spaces, people still managed to share a great deal, to adopt Zoom as a way of socially connecting and sharing experience. And I think our community particularly has been very kind to each other. And several of the poems in the collection speak to kindness.
All right, we are just about out of time. Misty, you want to recap the particulars for us?
Sure. So it's tomorrow, Saturday, November 13th at 10:30 a.m. at the City Museum.
All right. I want to thank you very much, Margot and Misty, and hope that a lot of people will take advantage of this opportunity to hear these stories and that the two of you will come back and share more about this.
We would love to. Thank you for having us on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Support for Juno Afternoon is provided by Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Klinkit & Haida Social Enterprises. For more information, visit ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon.
And that will do it for Juno Afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend.